Unit 2. Part 2. Development of 4R Skills. Listening. Section A. Listening Comprehension.
Task 1. Now listen to a news item and answer question 1.
Initial rescue efforts concentrated on the city of Padang, where more than 500 people died. Most were trapped in tall buildings that collapsed after the earthquake. Indonesian Search and Rescue Agency spokesman Gaga Prakoso says they are now focusing on relief and reconstruction efforts in the rural areas, where landslides may have killed thousands more. He says they are concentrating on Pariaman, dropping aid from the air to remote areas. Prakoso says that it is unlikely they will find anyone alive in the landslide areas, where some villages were totally buried. He says they are bringing in heavy construction equipment, but there is still some debate about whether or not to recover the bodies or to leave them in the ground. He says some leaders say there is no need to dig up the bodies, but there are a lot of people who want their relatives to have a proper burial. Little aid has reached the rural areas until now, because many roads and bridges have been destroyed. Officials are concerned that heavy rains like a storm that occurred Sunday could trigger more landslides and hamper relief efforts.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 2.
Initial rescue efforts concentrated on the city of Padang, where more than 500 people died. Most were trapped in tall buildings that collapsed after the earthquake. Indonesian Search and Rescue Agency spokesman Gaga Prakoso says they are now focusing on relief and reconstruction efforts in the rural areas, where landslides may have killed thousands more. He says they are concentrating on Pariaman, dropping aid from the air to remote areas. Prakoso says that it is unlikely they will find anyone alive in the landslide areas, where some villages were totally buried. He says they are bringing in heavy construction equipment, but there is still some debate about whether or not to recover the bodies or to leave them in the ground. He says some leaders say there is no need to dig up the bodies, but there are a lot of people who want their relatives to have a proper burial. Little aid has reached the rural areas until now, because many roads and bridges have been destroyed. Officials are concerned that heavy rains like a storm that occurred Sunday could trigger more landslides and hamper relief efforts. Task 2. Now listen to a news item and answer question 3.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us. I'm Virginia Cha at the CNN Center in Atlanta with a look at what's happening now in the news. More violence in Iraq. Iraq's Interior Ministry says at least 27 people were killed in a series of bombings today near Shiite mosques in Baghdad. The attacks occurred after Friday prayers concluded and appear to target worshippers as they left the mosques. Police believe the attacks were coordinated. The military scrambled fighter jets when a civilian plane, veered away off its flight plan last night. NORAD says it sent two F-16s to tail the single-engine plane when it flew past its destination. That plane crashed 300 miles away in near Henderson, West Virginia, killing the pilot. Fighter pilots say they never had any luck contacting the single-engine plane pilot. As the WSAZ reports, that pilot had apparently passed out.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 4.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us. I'm Virginia Cha at the CNN Center in Atlanta with a look at what's happening now in the news. More violence in Iraq. Iraq's Interior Ministry says at least 27 people were killed in a series of bombings today near Shiite mosques in Baghdad. The attacks occurred after Friday prayers concluded and appear to target worshippers as they left the mosques. Police believe the attacks were coordinated. the military scrambled fighter jets when a civilian plane, veered away off its flight plan last night. NORAD says it sent two F-16s to tail the single-engine plane when it flew past its destination. That plane crashed 300 miles away in near Henderson, West Virginia, killing the pilot. Fighter pilots say they never had any luck contacting the single-engine plane pilot. As the WSAZ reports, that pilot had apparently passed out. Task 3. Now listen to a news item and answer question 5.
Very few people can get college degrees before 11, but Michael was an exception. He started high school when he was 5, finishing in just 9 months. He became the world's youngest college graduate when he was 10 years and 4 months old, earning an architecture degree. Now, at 11, Michael is working on a master's degree in artificial intelligence. But Michael's success hasn't always come easy. Despite his intelligence, he still lacks important life experiences. In one class, he had to struggle to understand romantic novels, because he says, "I'm 11. I've never been in love before." Another challenge was his size. High school physical education was difficult because all of the equipment was too big for the then 5-year-old student. He likes computers so much that in graduate school, he's studying how to make them think like people. He wants to make robots do all the heavy tasks. Michael is smart, but he's like every other kid.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 6.
Very few people can get college degrees before 11, but Michael was an exception. He started high school when he was 5, finishing in just 9 months. He became the world's youngest college graduate when he was 10 years and 4 months old, earning an architecture degree. Now, at 11, Michael is working on a master's degree in artificial intelligence. But Michael's success hasn't always come easy. Despite his intelligence, he still lacks important life experiences. In one class, he had to struggle to understand romantic novels, because he says, "I'm 11. I've never been in love before." Another challenge was his size. High school physical education was difficult because all of the equipment was too big for the then 5-year-old student. He likes computers so much that in graduate school, he's studying how to make them think like people. He wants to make robots do all the heavy tasks. Michael is smart, but he's like every other kid. Task 4. Now listen to a long conversation and answer questions 7 to 8.
The interviewer and Ms. Dermot are talking about advantages and risks of working at home.
Ms. Dermot, let me ask you straight away. Do you think that technology has advanced so far that soon, or within a few years, many people could work at home instead of working in offices in the center of towns?
Oh yes, it's happening now. You see, there have been such enormous advances in the communications industry with mini and microcomputers, and of course, now with cable TV on its way, many people are already working from home who traditionally have had to go into an office every day. You see, the communications industry has made more progress than any other industry in the last 10 years.
And how do these people manage to work? I mean, what equipment do they have at home?
Well, they have a home terminal that consists of a television, a keyboard and computer, a printer and a telephone link to link up to other computers.
Oh, I see. But surely there are many advantages in being able to work from home?
Oh, yes. I mean, people spend a lot of their working day actually getting to and from their place of work, never mind the expense of that, and the stress it can cause. I mean, the rush hours, as everyone knows, are the worst times of day to travel, and millions of people spend their working lives either getting up early to avoid the rush hours or traveling in the middle of them with all the pressures and stress that can cause. Something that's happened in Britain is that people actually want to live as far away as possible from where they work. By that I mean they don't want to live actually in the center of cities and towns. And of course, the transporting of so many people causes pollution in our cities and in general, really.
Ah, yes, I see. So what is it that you don't like about the conditions of home workers?
What I'm afraid of is that the employer doesn't have to accept his responsibilities.
What do you mean? Surely the person is still an employee.
Well, yes, you may think that, but let me tell you what might happen. Basically, three things. One, lower wages. Two, no job security. And three, poorer working conditions. In future, a British firm in, for example, London might employ clerks in Belfast, or a Paris company could have their secretaries in Spain, and then they just dial around for the cheapest labour.
Yes, but surely such arrangements suit some people, particularly women. If they have young children, they don't want to travel a long way from home, and perhaps they want the advantages of flexi-time, where they have a number of hours to do things, but they can choose when to do them.
Well, of course, that's true. These types of arrangements do suit a lot of women. Now, one company has given its home workers the status and benefits of full-time employees. But you see, we think this protection should go to all home workers. Now, what is clear is that the new technologies are radically changing the working lives of people. We're in favor of the benefits and freedom that might come with this new situation. But we also want to warn people now some of the risks.
Thank you very much. Now listen to the conversation again and answer questions 9 to 12.
The interviewer and Miss Dermot are talking about advantages and risks of working at home.
Miss Dermot, let me ask you straight away. Do you think that technology has advanced so far that soon, or within a few years, many people could work at home instead of working in offices in the center of towns?
Oh yes, it's happening now. You see, there have been such enormous advances in the communications industry with mini and microcomputers, and of course, now with cable TV on its way, many people are already working from home who traditionally have had to go into an office every day. You see, the communications industry has made more progress than any other industry in the last 10 years.
And how do these people manage to work? I mean, what equipment do they have at home?
Well, they have a home terminal that consists of a television, a keyboard and computer, a printer and a telephone link to link up to other computers.
Oh, I see. But surely there are many advantages in being able to work from home?
Oh, yes. I mean, people spend a lot of their working day actually getting to and from their place of work, never mind the expense of that, and the stress it can cause. I mean, the rush hours, as everyone knows, are the worst times of day to travel. And millions of people spend their working lives either getting up early to avoid the rush hours or traveling in the middle of them with all the pressures and stress that can cause. Something that's happened in Britain is that people actually want to live as far away as possible from where they work. By that I mean they don't want to live actually in the center of cities and towns. And of course, the transporting of so many people causes pollution in our cities and in general, really.
Ah, yes, I see. So what is it that you don't like about the conditions of home workers?
What I'm afraid of is that the employer doesn't have to accept his responsibilities.
What do you mean? Surely the person is still an employee.
Well, yes, you may think that, but let me tell you what might happen. Basically, three things. One, lower wages. Two, no job security. And three, poorer working conditions. In future, a British firm in, for example, London might employ clerks in Belfast, or a Paris company could have their secretaries in Spain, and then they just dial around for the cheapest labour.
Yes, but surely such arrangements suit some people, particularly women. If they have young children, they don't want to travel a long way from home, and perhaps they want the advantages of flexi-time, where they have a number of hours to do things, but they can choose when to do them.
Well, of course, that's true. These types of arrangements do suit a lot of women. Now, one company has given its home workers the status and benefits of full-time employees. But you see, we think this protection should go to all home workers. Now, what is clear is that the new technologies are radically changing the working lives of people. We're in favor of the benefits and freedom that might come with this new situation. But we also want to warn people now some of the risks.
Thank you very much. Task 5. Now listen to a short passage or a long conversation and answer questions 13 to 14.
Stage with a sea of people, a sea of people. One of the things that has impressed me in putting the pieces together for you is all around the world, the response to you is so incredible. So when you are standing there, and there's a sea of people responding to you, screaming, Michael Jackson, as they were, what does that feel like?
Love. You feel lots of love. And I feel blessed and honored to be able to be an instrument of nature that was chosen to give them that. What I give them. I'm very honored and happy about that.
An instrument of nature? That's an interesting way to describe yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you very spiritual?
In what sense?
I mean, do you meditate? Do you understand that there is something bigger than yourself at work here?
I believe in God, absolutely. Absolutely. Very much.
And I believe everybody comes to the world for a reason. I think most of us spend our lives trying to figure out what the purpose of our being here is. What do you think yours is?
My purpose? I think it's to give in the best way I can through song, and through dance, and through music. I mean, I'm committed to my art. I believe that all art has, as its ultimate goal, the union between the material and the spiritual, the human and the divine. I believe that to be the reason for the very existence of art. And I feel I was chosen as an instrument to just give music and love and harmony to the world, to children of all ages and adults and teenagers.
Do you think that by talking now, setting the record straight for yourself, maybe people will be able to focus more attention on your music and not judge you for anything other than the kind of music that you play?
I would hope so. I would love that.
Well, I hope that comes out of this too. I'm also excited that the world is watching and... Because the world is watching, we thought this was a good time to let the world... see the world premiere of Giving to Me.
Now listen to the passage or conversation again and answer questions 15 to 18.
Stage with a sea of people, a sea of people. One of the things that has impressed me in putting the pieces together for you is all around the world, the response to you is so incredible. So when you are standing there, and there's a sea of people responding to you, screaming, Michael Jackson, as they were, what does that feel like?
Love. You feel lots of love. And I feel blessed and honored to be able to be an instrument of nature that was chosen to give them that. What I give them. I'm very honored and happy about that.
An instrument of nature? That's an interesting way to describe yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are you very spiritual?
In what sense?
I mean, do you meditate? Do you understand that there is something bigger than yourself at work here?
I believe in God, absolutely. Absolutely. Very much.
And I believe everybody comes to the world for a reason. I think most of us spend our lives trying to figure out what the purpose of our being here is. What do you think yours is?
My purpose? I think it's to give in the best way I can through song, and through dance, and through music. I mean, I'm committed to my art. I believe that all art has, as its ultimate goal, the union between the material and the spiritual, the human and the divine. I believe that to be the reason for the very existence of art. And I feel I was chosen as an instrument to just give music and love and harmony to the world, to children of all ages and adults and teenagers.
Do you think that by talking now, setting the record straight for yourself, maybe people will be able to focus more attention on your music and not judge you for anything other than the kind of music that you play?
I would hope so. I would love that.
Well, I hope that comes out of this too. I'm also excited that the world is watching and... Because the world is watching, we thought this was a good time to let the world... See the world premiere of Giving to Me. Section B, Listening-Based Integrated Tasks.
In this July issue, Money Magazine takes a look at people who are on the hunt for billionaires. But what are the pitfalls when you hunt for a partner with money? Money Magazine's Jean Chatsky is today's financial editor. Jean, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I want to say it at the beginning, and this is it. It just has a kind of sleazy, superficial feel to people looking for billionaires to marry. But that's what this article is about, isn't it?
Well, it has the same feel to me too. But this article is largely commenting on the fact that this is happening. This is out there. I mean, I've been here for 10 years, Money Magazine for 10 years, and we've never written about anything like this before. And that's because it's never existed until now, in a big way.
Because there are so many billionaires, you mean, at this point?
Right. There are 946 billionaires right now in the world. For the first time, the whole Forbes 400 was billionaires in the United States. If you go one tier down, there are about 85,000 people in this country with wealth of $30 million or more. And it's easier to find them if this is something that you're out looking for. Because there are dating services, dating websites that focus on helping people find other people with money.
Those are directly related to that you go out just for that. Are these women looking for men, men looking for women, or is it a little bit of both?
It's definitely a little bit of both. There are more billionaires who happen to be men of the 946. Only about 40 are women. So if you are dead set on a billionaire, you're going to have a tough time finding one who is a woman. However, I think when we talk about this whole phenomenon of older women, younger men, we are actually talking about richer women, poorer men. We're just not saying it.
So if a man or a woman wants to find themselves a billionaire, besides the websites they can go to, what else is out there?
Well, you have to figure out where the billionaires are to begin with. And that means looking in the different industries where they exist. About half of all billionaires that Money looked at, and they took a very scientific approach to this study, found their mates at work. So if this is something that you're up for, you may want to go out there, get yourself an MBA or get a job in finance or in the investment world, which is where most billionaires these days happen to work.
The point is, what a cynical thing you are saying. Get yourself an MBA so you can find yourself a billionaire.
Look, this is not how I want my daughter or my son, for that matter, out there dating. I want my kids to have their own money, as I'm sure you do, because when you have the money in the relationship, you have the power in the relationship. That's just the way it works. And so you need to know what you want in another person. But, you know, there are people out there who say, I want this, I want to be wealthy, and this is one way to get there.
Okay. So, besides getting the MBA, whatever it is, will get you closer to the person who is wealthy. What else can you do?
Well, you can look for common interests. I mean, if you look at the things that billionaires or very, very wealthy people do, they tend to spend a lot of money on luxury items. So, focus your interest on real estate or art galleries or collecting, and you might get involved in charities where they're likely to be. If you don't have enough money to buy a ticket to their great ball of the year, well, then volunteer. But get yourself in there in a way that you're interested in the subject also. I think that it's not easy to fake these things, and the good news is that many, many billionaires these days seem to be marrying for smarts as well as for money. They're not looking for people who can't carry on a conversation.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's in it for the billionaire?
I think in a lot of cases you have to ask that question. Because if you're dating somebody who has all the money in the relationship, you need to know up front what you're giving. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble on the back end.
But this whole premise of marrying somebody for money, where that is the goal, isn't that like buying a house whose foundation is sand, essentially?
I think in a large number of cases, it can be. And that's why if you go into that kind of a marriage, you'd better have a prenup. And it better be tight. You'd better have your own lawyer negotiate it for you.
All right, Jean Chatsky, thanks so much. Nice to see you.
Me too.
In this July issue, Money magazine takes a look at people who are on the hunt for billionaires. But what are the pitfalls when you hunt for a partner with money? Money magazine's Jean Chatsky is today's financial editor. Jean, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I want to say it at the beginning, and this is it. It just has a kind of sleazy, superficial feel to people looking for billionaires to marry. But that's what this article is about, isn't it?
Well, it has the same feel to me too. But this article is largely commenting on the fact that this is happening. This is out there. I mean, I've been here for 10 years, Money Magazine for 10 years, and we've never written about anything like this before. And that's because it's never existed until now, in a big way.
Because there are so many billionaires, you mean, at this point?
Right. There are 946 billionaires right now in the world. For the first time, the whole Forbes 400 was billionaires in the United States. If you go one tier down, there are about 85,000 people in this country with wealth of $30 million or more. And it's easier to find them if this is something that you're out looking for. Because there are dating services, dating websites that focus on helping people find other people with money.
Those are directly related to that you go out just for that. Are these women looking for men, men looking for women, or is it a little bit of both?
It's definitely a little bit of both. There are more billionaires who happen to be men of the 946. Only about 40 are women. So if you are dead set on a billionaire, you're going to have a tough time finding one who is a woman. However, I think when we talk about this whole phenomenon of older women, younger men, we are actually talking about richer women, poorer men. We're just not saying it.
So, if a man or a woman wants to find themselves a billionaire, besides the websites they can go to, what else is out there?
Well, you have to figure out where the billionaires are to begin with. And that means looking in the different industries where they exist. About half of all billionaires that Money looked at, and they took a very scientific approach to this study, found their mates at work. So if this is something that you're up for, you may want to go out there, get yourself an MBA or get a job in finance or in the investment world, which is where most billionaires these days happen to work.
The point is, what a cynical thing you are saying. Get yourself an MBA so you can find yourself a billionaire.
Look, this is not how I want my daughter or my son, for that matter, out there dating. I want my kids to have their own money, as I'm sure you do, because when you have the money in the relationship, you have the power in the relationship. That's just the way it works. And so you need to know what you want in another person. But, you know, there are people out there who say, I want this, I want to be wealthy, and this is one way to get there.
Okay. So, besides getting the MBA, whatever it is, will get you closer to the person who is wealthy. What else can you do?
Well, you can look for common interests. I mean, if you look at the things that billionaires or very, very wealthy people do, they tend to spend a lot of money on luxury items. So, focus your interest on real estate or art galleries or collecting, and you might get involved in charities where they're likely to be. If you don't have enough money to buy a ticket to their great ball of the year, well, then volunteer. But get yourself in there in a way that you're interested in the subject also. I think that it's not easy to fake these things, and the good news is that many, many billionaires these days seem to be marrying for smarts as well as for money. They're not looking for people who can't carry on a conversation.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what's in it for the billionaire?
I think in a lot of cases you have to ask that question. Because if you're dating somebody who has all the money in the relationship, you need to know up front what you're giving. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble on the back end.
But this whole premise of marrying somebody for money, where that is the goal, isn't that like buying a house whose foundation is sand, essentially?
I think in a large number of cases, it can be. And that's why if you go into that kind of a marriage, you'd better have a prenup. And it better be tight. You'd better have your own lawyer negotiate it for you.
All right, Jean Chatsky, thanks so much. Nice to see you.
Me too.